On the evening of August 21st, 1955, 11 terrified residents of the small town of Kelly, Kentucky, flooded into the local police station with a harrowing tale. They claimed that they had not only seen extraterrestrials that evening, but had been fighting the creatures for most of the night. Their story has held a strong place in UFO lore to this day. This is the story of the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter. I'm Ashton, and welcome to the Haunted Corner. Everyone, welcome back to the Haunted Corner. I'm back this week with a wild story for you. But first, I have an announcement to make. If you know me outside of the podcast, you know how much I love to cook. When my boys were little, I taught myself how to cook because I didn't want them to grow up eating processed food. I used to have a recipe blog that was pretty popular until one day my blog was hacked. I completely lost access to all of my recipes, and I've been trying for years to get my blog back, and I finally have access again, which is awesome. So I've been working to revamp everything, and I'm finally ready to start sharing my recipes again. I'm calling the new recipe blog The Haunted Foodie, and I can't wait to share everything with you. So I will be sharing all of the details in the show notes so you can check out the blog and follow all of the new socials. I'm honestly so excited. Don't worry, the podcast is not going anywhere. If anything, you're going to be seeing a lot more of me. I'm super excited. So now that that's out of the way, let's get into the episode topic for the week. I've never covered UFOs or extraterrestrials on the podcast, but this is one of the first stories I heard about when it comes to other life forms out there. So let's get into it. The story begins in 1955 in southwest Kentucky in the small town of Kelly, Kentucky. It was Sunday, August 21st, and it was a typical evening for most people, including the police officers who were on duty at the Hopkinsville Police Department. That is until around 11 o'clock p.m., when 8 adults and 3 children rushed into the police station with a horrific and shocking story. For years, people had been reporting odd things seen in the night sky. Extraterrestrial signs so strange that even the government was investigating. But this was different. The residents who arrived at the station included Billy Ray Taylor and his wife, as well as Lucky Sutton and his family, including wife Glennie Langford, her 2 older sons and their wives, a brother-in-law, and Glennie's 3 younger children. Billy Ray and his wife were in town visiting the Sutton family that weekend. Billy and Lucky had previously worked together at a carnival. And the story they shared with police that night shocked even the bravest of officers. This is how they described the event. Around 7 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, August 21st, Billy Ray was fetching water from the backyard when he saw something strange in the night sky. Billy described a silvery object that silently approached the house, passing over it, then stopping midair and dropping straight to the ground. Billy claimed the object made a hissing noise as it landed and was, quote, real bright with an exhaust all the colors of the rainbow, end quote. Billy ran inside to tell his friend and his wife what he had seen, but they laughed him off and no one took him seriously. That is until about an hour later. The dogs started barking incessantly, which alerted Lucky and Billy Ray, who went to the back door. The 2 men were horrified when they noticed a strange glow, and inside that glow, they saw what they described as a small humanoid creature. The creature was about 3.5 feet tall, and it had, quote, an oversized head, almost perfectly round. Its arms extended almost to the ground, its hands had talons, and its oversized eyes glowed with a yellowish light, end quote. The men claimed the creature shimmered in the light of the moon as if it was made of silver metal. Ray and Lucky were terrified and rushed to arm themselves against the attackers. They grabbed a .22 rifle and a 20-gauge shotgun and fired at what they called the little man. The little man did a flip, scrambled upright, and then fled. Not long after that, another one of the creatures appeared at a side window, and the men fired at it. Again, the creature did a flip and vanished. Billy Ray went outside to investigate further, stepping underneath a small overhang, when a small claw-like hand reached down and grabbed his hair. The scared residents screamed and pulled Billy back inside, while Lucky shot towards the creature, who floated to the ground before running into the woods. In a later interview, Glennie, Lucky's wife, described seeing the creatures, saying, quote, "I went out in the hallway and crouched down next to Billy when I saw one approaching the door. It looked like a 5-gallon gasoline can with a head on top and small legs. It was a shimmering, bright metal like on my refrigerator," end quote. Now, after several terrifying hours spent listening for the creatures and waiting for them to return, the group finally sensed that the chaos was coming to an end, and they all piled into the cars to head to the Hopkinsville police station just before 11 p.m. The group rushed into the police station, horrified and ready to share their story, saying, quote, "We need help. We've been fighting them for nearly 4 hours," end quote. The group went on to describe the 12 to 15 little men who got out of the UFO and approached the house before engaging in a long battle with the family. Officers noticed that the crowd at the police station had seemed genuinely terrified. One of the men even had a pulse of 140 beats per minute. Chief Russell Greenwell noted, quote, "These aren't the kind of people who normally run to the police for help," end quote. 4 city police officers, including Chief Greenwell, drove to the family's farm following Billy Ray, Lucky, and the rest of the group. Officers called in for backup and were joined at the scene by state police, military police, and a photographer. In all, there were approximately 25 people on the scene. When officers arrived, they didn't find any evidence of the little men. In fact, there wasn't a lot of evidence at the scene at all, aside from a few shell casings and a bullet hole in the screen of a window. There were no tracks of the little men and no evidence indicating anything had landed at the indicated location behind the house. Deputy Sheriff Batts spoke to Lucky and Billy Ray, who indicated that they had fired about 4 boxes of pistol shells over the course of the evening. However, the evidence didn't match that. And a neighbor who was later interviewed claimed they only heard 4 shots total and actually mistook the sound for fireworks. Neighbors believed that it was a drunken debacle and nothing more than that. But alcohol wasn't allowed on the farm, and there was no evidence that anyone had been drinking that night. Officers were on scene for around 2 hours, and during that time, the only excitement that occurred on the scene was when an officer accidentally stepped on a cat's tail outside, and the noise scared those who were around. After finding nothing convincing of an alien attack, officers left. But the little men weren't done. They reportedly returned in the middle of the night around 3:30 a.m., with Glennie again seeing one of the little men glowing near her window with its hand on the screen peering inside. The next day, when investigators returned to the scene to gather more evidence, footprints, blood trails, something, they found nothing. And word of the event spread quickly. Radio stations and newspapers shared the story of the so-called alien attack, and curiosity seekers flocked to the farm and ridiculed the family, often calling them fraudsters. The family put up no trespassing signs, but they did very little to deter visitors. After the family attempted to take advantage of the attention by charging admission to the farm, neighbors grew cold and the family eventually left town. But they had supporters near and far as well, including one police officer who also recalled his own interaction with the unknown. The summer before, Sergeant Frank Dudas reportedly saw 3 flying saucers early one morning, and he said in an interview, quote, "I know I saw them. If I saw them, the Kelly story certainly could be true," end quote. But what is the most commonly accepted explanation for what happened that night? Many believe that the responsible culprit was a great horned owl. Owls have glowing eyes, round heads, and long wings. So is it possible that the Suttons mistook an owl for a Martian? The truth about what occurred that night has remained a mystery, but the event helped shape our view of aliens in movies and entertainment with the little green men description that the media ran with. Kelly, Kentucky even hosts an annual Little Green Men Days festival to remember the event from that night. The festival is held at Kelly Station Park, a plot of land purchased and built upon with funds raised by the annual attraction. The festival features a Little Green Men homemade costume contest, and visitors can even watch a dramatic recreation of the 1955 shootout at a local cinema, and it's called The Invasion of Kelly. Many people still believe the story that the family shared from that hot summer night in 1955. One of those people is Geraldine Sutton Stith. She's the daughter of Lucky Sutton. She speaks each year at the Little Green Men Days Festival and is determined to share her family's story, despite the fact that the surviving family members from that night refused to speak of it. She once said in an interview, quote, "There are millions of stars and planets in the universe. I can't possibly believe ours is the only planet with life," end quote. And that is the story of the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter. I hope you enjoyed the episode today. That story is wild, and I kind of want to go to the Little Green Men Days Festival. I'm not going to lie. So if you want to go, let's go. Before I take off, I want to share a current event from this week in hopes of getting the word out. I will share a news link in the show notes as well in the blog post for the episode with more information, but this is a current missing persons case. A 66-year-old man named Edmund Bradley Solomon III from Charleston, South Carolina, was last seen on April 3rd when the Royal Caribbean cruise ship that he was on with his wife Mimi stopped in the popular tourist hotspot Cozumel, Mexico. According to the news article, Edmund was recently diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia, a group of diseases caused by a progressive nerve cell loss that affects a person's behavior and not memory. Minutes after getting off of the Royal Caribbean ship in Cozumel, Edmund and Mimi went to the bathroom, and by the time Mimi exited the bathroom, Edmund had disappeared, and there was no sign of him anywhere. Over the last few days, local police and the retired nurse's family have been scouring Cozumel, and the family and police followed several leads, but to no avail. The most promising tip came at around 6 p.m. on Sunday, April 7th, when someone thought they had seen him at a large grocery store. But after 3 hours of driving and walking the surrounding areas, they weren't able to find Edmund. I just can't imagine how his family is feeling. I really hope they're able to find him. If you have any information or if you've seen Edmund, please reach out. Anyone in Cozumel should send tips to the Cozumel police. Thank you for tuning in today. The sources for today's episode will be listed on the blog post for the episode at www.thehauntedcorner.com. I will link to the blog post in the show notes, and I will also link to the new food blog for you to check out. You can also check out the other episodes of The Haunted Corner, available now wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Thursday. If you're enjoying the podcast and would like to share your support, head over to Patreon. You'll have access to the exclusive Patreon-only episodes, early and ad-free access to new episodes, plus a lot more. So head on over to patreon.com/thehauntedcorner to join now. Follow us on social media at The Haunted Corner on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. If you're enjoying the podcast, be sure to tell a friend. And if you have a case suggestion or a correction to share, or you have a spooky event that you want to share with me, please send it to thehauntedcorner@gmail.com or submit it directly through the website. Until next time, be kind and take care of yourselves, and we'll see you soon. Bye.